From the Lend Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of February, 2022. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. It's the last trading day of the month where crop insurance prices are set. Today, we'll talk about the commodity markets and those crop insurance prices with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll discuss the marketplace in greater detail with Chad Hart, agricultural economist from Iowa State Extension, and then we'll turn our attention to the weather forecast as we round out our time together with Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics in the cash grain market with Greg Johnson from TGM. Total grain marketing all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today at $6.97.5, finished 38 cents higher. May at $6.90¾, up 35. And December 27.5 higher at $6.07¼. March soybeans at $16.44¼, 54 higher than May at $16.36¾, up 52¼. And November beans 20¾ higher at $14.35¾. Bean meal up $6.60, $454.90 the settlement price. The bean oil at $72.89, up $4.14. Wheat futures soft red 85 cents higher at $9.28. That sounds like a big move, and it is, but the trading limit for today is $1.50 on wheat. Hard red winter wheat at $9.54¼ in the March, also $1.50 on the trading range, 67.5 cents higher. Spring wheat at $9.93, up 40¾ cents. Live cattle futures finished the lead at $141.42½, 50 cents lower. Feeders down $2.75 at $162. And April lean hogs at $103.50, 17.5 cents lower. Crude oil for the day at $95.96 a barrel, up $4.36, but that's well off the high, which was nearly $100 at $99.10 a barrel. Diesel fuel 13¼ cents higher, $2.93.07, and gasoline on the RBOB wholesale price at $2.94¾ per gallon, up 6¼ cents. Kurt Kimmel is now here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to explain to us exactly what happened in Chicago and why. I know you have all the answers, Kurt.
No, boy, I tell you, you have the answers for about 5 minutes, then things change, and there we go. But wow, what a dynamic market. When you look at the big pictures in here, we've just got four big things. I mean, we've got Ukrainian Russia, we've got South America, we got a dry Western U.S., and we got inflation. You throw that all into one pot here, it's taking the top off, boiled over for sure. But basically, their last Friday, it was amazing. We saw the commodity funds come in as huge sellers. They sold 25,000 contracts of wheat, 45,000 contracts of corn, and 30,000 contracts of soybeans. Well, today they decide, well, we probably need to put some of these positions back on. And they came back today at midday attempting to replace about half of what they sold there on Friday. What changed going home Friday? The trade was looking at month end, some profit taking, a little better forecast for the southern hemisphere, and the idea is that Russia would roll in and take over Ukraine quite sooner. And then the fear or concern was that Russia would take over and sell wheat on the world market at a substantial discount. But man, the Ukrainians' heart and souls go out for them. They're hunkered down and they're defending, and so this conflict's going to go on for quite longer than what the trade was looking for. Also, too, the world came in and started the sanctions on SWIFT. You know, it's a process of moving money around the world. There are concerns or ideas or some back doors to it. But this is a long-term process. They don't turn this on and turn this off, so it's going to slow down some money movement into Russia, too, in and out of Russia. So starting to see some things fall in place where the earliest we could probably see things get straightened out if the, I think AgResource said if the Russians would return to the barracks today, that it'd be 30 to 45 days before we could see some resumption of movement. Yeah, the other thing is there's talk of that the Ukrainians put some mines out in the water, and so ships, you know, if the Russian ships would come in, they'd have to incur those. So that, you know, complete change. Ukraine has about 6 million metric tons of wheat to export yet, about 4 million metric tons of corn to export yet, and that needed to be exported here in the next 60 days or so. And so there was talk, quite a bit of talk, that China's actually coming to the U.S. to pick up some of that corn. So that got the corn market, old corn firm, and up and going. The dynamics, or something really interesting, though, last night that grain market opened, shot up, pulled back, and consolidated a little bit. But the thing about the grain trade last night, Todd, was, when you look at where it opened, where it traded, and where it was most of the night, and where we were this morning, it kind of stayed in that same range until it got into late morning, early afternoon. Then it started moving a little bit more. But I was really amazed that you woke up three or four times checking the market last night. It was consistently about in the same area was throughout the whole evening.
Yeah, so it stayed consistent last night. I saw that move up and then settled back, and I wasn't quite certain that we wouldn't end up with losses today. Clearly, that's not the case. Part of that probably because of SWIFT, some of it more, I think, because of your discussions as it's related to the Black Sea and the ports and the ability to move vessels in and out of Odessa and other places. And I did see that those vessels that are in place now in the ports along the Black Sea are supposed to stay there, and they can't come out. So there will be a whole bunch of grain haulers that are stuck for a long time, I would suppose. So that'll make the market nervous as well. The Black Sea, of course, the primary provider into the Middle East. Has the market thought about destabilization of the Middle East because of lack of wheat and bread in that case?
Well, if this would persist longer term, I think that could start to be an issue. I don't know how much inventory they have on hand in here. I guess Egypt was one article today said they were fairly well set here short term, but I didn't know what the definition of short term is. But the other thing too is you know, there's some comments about they're wanting to farm some farm ground here this spring, and if things don't straighten out, either the Russian or Ukrainian army is going to take the fuel. I don't think the producers are going to have fuel to work with, and logistics, the seed and fertilize, or just being out there being able to do the work. I know a lot of this countryside, they swept through, or will sweep through it fairly quickly. And most of the things you see is the larger cities where a lot of the conflicts is taking place. So it'll be interesting to see what things develop in the countryside.
Hey, we appreciate you being with us today. Look forward to having you over at the Beef House a week and a day from today, next Tuesday, on the 8th day of March.
Oh, boy. Looking forward to it, Todd. Catch you then.
Mm-hmm. That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and will join us over at the Beef House on Tuesday, the 8th day of March. We'll kick things off relatively early in the morning. You can find those details online at willag.org, and you can also buy your tickets there. The cost is just $25. That includes your morning coffee and roll from the Beef House. That's a really good event there. And then the lunch from the Beef House. The Farm Doc team will be there. A whole slew of our Will Ag panelists, and you should be too. You cannot wait now. It's only a week and a day away. If you've not registered yet, do it today. Just $25 each at 217-333-7300 or at willag.org, willag.org. The Spring Outlook is Tuesday, the 8th day of March at the Beef House. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Chad Hart now joins us here at willag.org to discuss the marketplace. He's with Iowa State Extension and based in Ames at the ISU campus. Hey, thank you for being with us. I appreciate that.
It's my pleasure to be with you today.
So tell me about the action last week, what you think happened, and what you think will happen going forward and how farmers should view it all.
Well, you know, in this case, what we saw was, you know, the markets had been building up to this point because we could see the troop build up and knowing that that was going to impact our markets. And so once the invasion actually happened, you saw, you know, the strong moves on Thursday, moving up for the most part on the crops and sort of moving sideways down on the livestock side. Friday, I argue, is this is where I talk about risk on, risk off. I think you saw a lot of traders say we're coming up on 2 days that we can't trade, so I'd rather be watching the markets from far than being within them. So we saw a lot of profit taking on Friday, watch those prices go back down again. And then here on Monday, putting that risk back on, jumping back into these markets, thinking, you know, and I think in a lot of cases, a lot of folks are expecting even higher prices as we move forward, because the longer this conflict goes on, the bigger impact it will have on global agricultural trade.
Is that because the Black Sea provides so much of what runs into the Middle East?
It is that. It is, you know, especially as we think about the market that it's, you know, we think about the Black Sea most for, which would be wheat, has been, you know, stocks have been tightening there. You know, we've been seeing smaller acreage worldwide there. And so the wheat market is running a bit short. And so to have the Black Sea region sort of taken out because of this war definitely puts increased pressure on other spots around the world to fill in that shortage of wheat that we're not going to be able to source out of the Black Sea.
How should farmers view what's happening now as it relates to marketing the 2022 crops?
As they're looking there right now, I would say, you know, actually crop farmers are sitting in a really good position right now. But again, it's going to be highly volatile. So we're seeing some incredible pricing now. Farmers will be benefiting not only from the market prices they're seeing right now, but sort of the protection that's being built in, for example, through our crop insurance program, which uses these February prices to set those guarantees within our insurance. And so it's more about protecting where prices are at today while still allowing some upside potential as we look forward here. So trying to think about utilizing our crop insurance to help put in price floors, along with things like looking at options to put in price floors, but leaving that upside potential that's there because, like I say, the longer this conflict goes on, the more pressure that puts on the ag markets.
The crop insurance price for soybeans as of Friday was the highest it has ever been based on the average. And today, of course, it appears that that will be added to the upside. How do producers use that to put a floor into their markets in Iowa?
Well, in Iowa, and, you know, throughout the nation, you know, a lot of our farmers across the nation do utilize the revenue insurance products through our federal crop insurance program. And especially, you know, you think about revenue assurance, RA, what it does is it gives you that option of having what they call the harvest price option, which basically gives you the larger of the two prices, the price we see here in February for corn, soybeans, wheat, versus as you're looking at the harvest time price for the commodity. And so given that it gives you the larger of the two, it's sort of giving you that minimum of the price we see here in February. And as you mentioned, for soybeans right now, that's at a record high, but it still gives you that upside potential that if we do see higher prices this fall, you would get that higher level of protection through the revenue product.
I'm sorry. So simply using the RP products at a level which is for Iowa farmers somewhere between 75 and 85%?
I was going to say, you know, when you look back over the past couple of years, the average for an Iowa corn or soybean farmer would be 80% RP.
And this will be satisfactory, you think, for this year?
It will be incredibly satisfactory. Again, since we're looking at near record price guarantees going into that product, these will be the highest, you know, levels of risk protection ever offered through the federal crop insurance program.
From this point forward, what are the biggest risks you see in the marketplace as potentials, either to the upside or downside?
Well, I think as we look at this war, yeah, definitely, you know, it does have the potential, like I say, rearrange world agricultural trade as we look out there. The Black Sea an area that we do rely upon for a significant amount of, especially wheat, but as you see, think coarse grains and, you know, some of our oil seeds, especially sunflower. So it's that creates a lot of upside potential because of the limited potential production coming out of that area. At the same time, too, given where prices are now sitting, I think we do have to worry about some sort of, you know, erosion of demand, especially in the international marketplace. Do you start to look for other commodities that sort of trade your way down to find the feed products or the food products that you need to create the calories needed, whether it's through the livestock feed industry or in the human feed, human food markets, to reach the, you know, the nutritional requirements that you have there? I mean, anytime we get to talking about $7 corn and $15, $16 soybeans, you start to look for alternatives to create those same, you know, ingredient values.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Chad Hart is an agricultural economist at Iowa State University Extension in Ames. Hey, don't forget to get yourself signed up for our Spring Outlook with the Farm Doc team, the Ag Economists, right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I, along with a whole slew of the Will Ag panelists. The cost is just $25, and it's a week and a day away. Don't wait. Sign up right now, willag.org, or at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300, or willag.org for the Spring Outlook. It's next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Details online. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast with Mark Brusso. He is at Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It's beautiful weather here today, this week, in my part of the world. However, that's not of concern just yet. I'm wondering, though, about the hard red winter wheat-growing regions of the plains. They have been dry. They have remained dry. Is there any change in the offing?
Well, Todd, we don't see much in the way of any changes here coming up throughout the first half of March. In other words, there will continue to be a lack of meaningful rainfall across the region. There will be a few very fast-moving systems coming through, but again, they don't look like they will produce any meaningful rainfall in the core acreage. Also of note, temperatures are going to be quite variable. In fact, this week will be a pretty warm week across much of the hard red belt. If that were to continue into a following week, then there would be potential for the crop to come out of dormancy in the southern part of the belt. But actually, next week, temperatures look colder again across the region. And that should still keep most of the crop in a dormant state there in the mid-March.
How cold there, and does that spill into the Midwest?
Well, right now, with some of the forecast temperatures for the Plains region, it does look that temperatures will be dropping, obviously below freezing, temperatures even getting down into the 20s or even some teens in portions of Nebraska. Right now, it doesn't look like any kind of winter kill threat, but the thing to watch is if temperatures start to trend even colder, and then we have like a repeat of what we had a week ago where there were temperatures dropping below zero without any protective snow cover in portions of Kansas. So it doesn't look like we're going that route right now, but just something to keep an eye on.
Late last week, we made note on our programs that the South American outlook, particularly for Argentina, had been changing. Is rainfall still in the forecast there?
Yeah, the pattern here has transitioned to a more active one in Argentina and southern Brazil that started late last week and continued through the weekend. And now looking out for the next 2 weeks, that pattern looks to be in place. So that will allow for numerous opportunities for rain development and ultimately improving soil moisture and benefiting especially late developing soybeans in Argentina and southern Brazil.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Let's check now what's been happening in the cash grain markets locally here in Champaign County with Greg Johnson. He's with TGM, Total Grain Marketing. Thanks, Greg, for being with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
I said locally, but of course TGM is a regional across a good portion of the southern part of the primary producing area in the state of Illinois. Can you give me an idea what things are like for you today after such a busy week last week and a market that's rebounded?
Well, the the farmers and the traders, I think, alike are wondering, you know, one day up limit, next day down limit, and today we're up limit again. You know, the news out of Russia, out of Ukraine, out of Washington, probably more importantly, is the reason for the strength today. The sanctions that Biden talked about Thursday night were not especially stringent, and the traders were disappointed with that, as he was going to allow oil exports and corn and wheat exports to continue out of both Russia and Ukraine. Now, with him clamping down on the access to the Russians' access to the SWIFT banking system, that seems to have a little bit more teeth in it, and so now they think that maybe those exports could be curtailed out of Russia and the Ukraine, and as a result, now we're back up sharply in the beans and limit higher in the corn today. So it just kind of depends on the news as a result of the invasion out of Russia into Ukraine. Each day we seem to get more news and different news each day, and the market reacts accordingly.
Farmers just mostly happy to talk about it as opposed to act on it?
Yes. We're buying a little bit. That big sharp down day on Friday, I think, made people realize that, you know, while we do go up, we can eventually come back down at some point in time. So some people are taking advantage of the rally today. Others are waiting to see where the dust settles. We've got some good prices, but we could have even higher prices depending on what happens with Russian exports and Ukraine exports. So today, I think most farmers are in a wait-and-see mode.
Yeah, and I suppose they're feeling pretty good about the crop insurance price for both corn and soybeans set in the month of February. That'll close out this afternoon. And they would feel all right about some of the protection they'll have in place.
Exactly. Before today, I think we were looking at a 589 December futures price for corn as a minimum guarantee, and 1432 for beans. And it feels like that'll go up just a penny or two more with today's move up. So we're going to have some excellent crop insurance prices. And I think farmers can use that as a backstop when they're figuring their marketing plans here over the next several months.
Thank you so much. We'll talk with you again next week and see you at the Spring Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana.
Yes, looking forward to it.
That's Greg Johnson with TGM from right here in Champaign County, Total Grain Marketing. He'll have a booth at the Spring Outlook at the Beef House Tuesday, March the 8th in Covington, Indiana. You can drop in and see him. Most of our Will Ag analysts and almost all of the Farm Doc team that you hear right here on Illinois Public Media. The cost is just $25. You really can't wait. You need to sign up, because I'll close this thing up pretty shortly, to registration at willag.org or 217-333-7300. $25 gets you the whole day's event, coffee and rolls in the morning, and the Beef House lunch will open the doors around 7:30 Central Eastern Time. Is at 8:30. We start an hour later than that for both times. So you'll have time to get there in the morning, and it should be a really good day. I hope to see you there.